You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Welcome to episode 227, good grief, of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, a part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, comic news, tropes, and web fiction, all at webcastbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network. And this week, we are back once again, as we are. At webcastbeacon.com/live, we try to broadcast the Webcomic Beacon shows live, so check it out. We got a couple of people in the chat room right now. We have Kazarad as this week's guest from the webcomic Prequel at prequeladventure.com. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up?
And I forgot to mention that we also have Mark Savory back with us as a co-host. From,
what do you mean back? I'm here. What are you? Hi, how are you?
Hello there.
I'm just so trying to get the new vibes since we don't have Tanya anymore. So we might have another guest. Yeah, we might have another co-host joining us later, but we'll see. But first off, we have Kazarad here. Now, let's go into as much of a background as we can. Am I correct to assume that this project, this prequel webcomic, is inspired by MS Paint Adventures or Homestuck?
Yes, you are correct. It actually started on the MS Paint Adventures forums. The forums have a section that's like mostly people are trying to do the same thing, like a little forum game. People submit commands, people draw pictures.
Okay.
Based off those commands. Prequel pretty much just started out as one of those. And I guess it spiraled chaotically out of control.
So, for some of the people that may not be familiar, I mean, I've heard of MS Paint Adventures, and I've seen MS Paint Adventures, and I didn't follow Homestuck so much because it just got too complex. It was like,
Well, I've been told that a great selling point on Prequel is that it's not as complex as Homestuck.
Okay.
I take that as a compliment, I guess, but...
Well, no, it doesn't mean that it's super simple, but it's like, yeah. I mean, come on, it's like, yeah, Homestuck had, like, all this stuff with, like, crazy inventory and runes, and it's just all this stuff. It's like, it's so much to try to keep track of.
I think my favorite instance of this was, what was it, back in October, I remember Andrew Hussey and me both released big updates on the same day. On his, there was, like, 13-year-old kids destroying universes. In mine, there was a cat finding a fork. I think that sets up the parallels well.
Yes. Let's try to explain what the MS Paint Adventures basically is. Would you like to do that since you've been well ingrained into the community?
I don't know if I'm qualified to do that. I guess it's basically like it started out sort of as a forum game too, as far as I understand. The original MS Paint Adventures thing he did, Jailbreak.
Okay.
And then he started posting on the website. I mean, things like that existed before with like the forum games, people submitting commands. I ran one myself before MS Paint Adventures did, but okay. I think Andrew Hussey was the first person to sort of take that format and webcomicize it, I guess.
Right, right. So how does this okay, now before I've heard of MS Paint Adventures, I had seen people try to do choose your own adventure style web comics, which
yeah.
I'd never see last very long.
Go on. Yeah.
That was it.
Oh, well. I think the problem most people do when they do the choose your own adventure style stuff is, well, they try to make it so, like, literally every reader who's going through can choose his own adventure, basically. Like, you pick an option, takes you to a different plot branch. And the branching stuff, like, I don't know if you ever worked with game design or anything like that,
right.
But if you have branching paths like that, it gets out of control so fast, it's not even funny. Like, you end up at some point where any event's going to have like 10 permutations of it, depending on what's been done beforehand.
Right, right, right.
With MS Paint Adventures and stuff, the other forum games, it's more like it's only being played once, and then everyone else is reading the log of how it was played.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So, one thing that I've noticed. Okay, you were talking about, like, people are submitting commands. Now, I'm guessing that this is sort of, like, in the style of, like, old text RPG adventures on the computer, where you walk into a room and you get given, this is all is here. It's sort of, like, crowdsourced of what the character's gonna do next, but but whoever is running the comic that's doing this ultimately picks or condenses what's going to happen. Can you explain how this command submitting works?
It sort of works differently for everyone who does it, I guess.
Okay.
Like, I mentioned the start on the MS Paint Adventures forums. They had a section for doing sort of like these MSPA spinoff things. That entire section hates me right now, I bet, for calling them MSPA spinoffs.
Okay.
But, basically, like, people take different approaches to it. I've seen some people who make a concerted effort to use every single command that's submitted to them.
Mm.
I'm sorry, car going off in the parking lot. Don't know if that shows up on the microphone or not.
Nope, it's good.
Okay, cool. Some people make concerted effort, use every command that's submitted to them. Some people just sort of like pick the best one. Something that I decided I was going to do when I started with prequel is everything is sort of filtered through the main character.
Like her subconscious.
Yeah, it's her subconscious. Everyone's playing is her subconscious, pretty much.
Mm.
Or I guess whoever's narrating right then. I switch it up sometimes.
Okay. Oh, right, right. Because I have noticed that. I remember that on MS Paint Adventures where now you're so-and-so. Decide what's going to happen. So
yeah, I don't do it as much as he did.
Yeah, not as... You did it... Well, I have no idea of time because you don't update, like, absolutely regularly. So when I was going through the archives, I couldn't tell you about how long ago that was. But I do want to say we have Alex Heberling on the show from the Webcomic Beacon newscast joining us. Welcome.
I'm sneaking onto the podcast, guys.
Oh no, it's addicts and stuff sneaking onto the podcast.
So, I'm on your podcast talking about ponies.
Yes.
Ponies are bad. Oh.
She's from alexesguide.net, so if you hear her pop in, she is now introduced, so it won't be
hello,
here.
Hello.
Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Just got done recording the newscast, actually, so.
Excellent.
Good timing.
Yes. So, I would like to go back to the beginning of prequel, which... Is okay. First off, prequel.
Yeah.
Why prequel? Is there something else to this, or does this have to do with what originally started on the forums, or?
It's not a huge secret, but it's largely based off the Elder Scrolls series of games.
Okay.
I try to make it as accessible as possible if people have like played them or not, but people that have played the game Oblivion,
all right,
possibly recognize that it is inspired by that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, like if you couldn't pick that up, then I think that is a testament to how well I've made it accessible.
Well, I didn't have
my own horn there.
I didn't have an Xbox at the time, so it's like that wasn't a game that I just remember when that game came out, people would not shut up about how good the water graphics were.
Oh God.
And that's all I really heard about the game. It's like, oh, but the water is so awesome.
Look back at how those look these days.
Well, yeah, now
it doesn't.
Technology, yeah.
Like just following where it goes.
I thought the water in WoW looked pretty good, too, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, so, the beginning of prequels starts... just fill us in on... give us your sort of pitch for prequel.
Ooh. I guess it's a hard question because the convention pitch type thing isn't something I ever thought that much about with it. Like, in a lot of ways, this is sort of an experiment for me.
Okay.
With doing the webcomic stuff. Something I like doing is just seeing how other people interpret it. Most of the quotes on my about page, or even like the subtitle on the website, Making a Cat Cry the Adventure, was all stuff that other people described it as. And
okay.
I just kind of run with that. So I'm going to have to go with it's Making a Cat Cry the Adventure, because that's apparently what people think it is.
Hmm. I like one of the one of the quotes here is, "Everything is a federal fucking issue, and it's also trying to make you miserable."
Yeah, that's
kind of the way of it.
I have to guess you're just a little bit evil, I think.
I am a little bit evil.
Especially in the last couple of updates, for those listening to this show, mid-April 2012. I was like, no, don't do that. No.
I've gotten more messages about people like throwing in the towel and quitting reading at this point than ever before.
Really?
But it's funny, at the same time, I'm getting like lots of messages from people who absolutely love this direction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an interesting polarization there.
Right, right. I was starting to think it was going, well, not to be mean, but I was starting to think it's going a little too well.
Yeah, I kind of tried to evoke that feeling. Like you know that something is going to go wrong at any minute.
Right.
There's, I guess, that sort of recurring theme. Like, people that have played the game that is prequel to, inspired by Oblivion, actually know that the town she's in... Okay, I'm not considering the spoilers, because it happens in, like, the first 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
But the town she's in right now basically gets leveled in demonic invasion.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's like periodic references to that all over it.
Interesting.
Everything in the town is flammable. And it's also sort of
in the Oblivion game. Are there like anthro dragons and cats and all that sort of stuff too? I guess I'm not that familiar.
Yes, there are. Yes,
okay.
There are.
All right. So back, I keep meaning to go back to the beginning of prequel. So basically, your main character, Katia. Or Cassia. How am I supposed to say it?
I'm saying it Katia. I don't know how other people say it.
All right. So we have this character, Katia, that just arrives in this new town trying to leave her past behind and move forward in her life. Essentially starting, you know, like a video game would start not wanting to talk about her past. Or in some games it would be the amnesia effect, so to speak. But I'm pretty sure she knows.
Yeah, she knows.
And so you have everybody's like sort of like submitting commands about, you know, basically trying to discover who she is and who she wants to be. And then you have a lot of a little bit of mayhem or mischief happen that, I'm trying to get away from this. And what I've noticed about the commands that he was sent, a lot of them were really getting on her side. They really, really want her to succeed. Though there have been a few comments that'll pop up that will propose more harm than good, I would say.
I'm curious about that. How would you deal with a sort of crowdsourced direction they want to go in, but you don't want to go that way?
Well, like I said before, I try to sort of filter it through Katia's subconscious. So what it ends up being is not so much like, I want to go that way, I don't want to go that way. More like, would she do that? The biggest advantage to the crowdsourcing, I found, is, well, you sort of like, because you're basing it off the character, if someone comes up with a really good idea for something that she should do, you have to, like, if you want something else to happen, you have to have a really good reason something else happens. Otherwise, you're go with a good idea. Okay, that probably made no sense. Sorry, I just woke up.
No. It's when I know when I was writing my comic, I do know that there's been times where I've wanted one thing, but my muse says no. This would be good. This is better. Or I know you want that, but look at the situation. Like, this has to happen.
What's it? Those people say, why doesn't Batman just kill the Joker? Well, like, you know, if Batman was an intelligent character, he would kill the Joker, as horrible as that sounds. I mean, they write it off as part of his character, I guess, but...
Right. Batman doesn't kill.
Yeah. But then, like, when you're crowdsourcing this, you have people pointing out, like, the Joker needs to die.
Right.
So... But my analogies, for the record, are all terrible. Like, you will notice this by the end of this interview. I have never made a good analogy in my life.
That's quite all right. Let's see here. With the commands, do you get some people just trying to sabotage the situation versus, or do you kind of like take on what like the majority of people say with more weight?
My personal rule is that I always try to like at least not acknowledge the majority.
Okay.
Even if it's just like her shrugging it off and saying, no, I'm not a lesbian. That's typically what the majority leads to, okay. I've found. but other than that, I guess I go with what makes the most sense for her.
All right. There was.
That's usually with the majority, actually.
Okay.
Like, as much as you can talk about the internet being crazy, they do have some good ideas. Or at least ideas that kind of make vague sense if you are a depressed cat person.
Like, wow, yeah.
I guess that's a compliment to the internet.
Yes, yes. and with that, we're going to take our... Somebody's in the chat room using Katia Manigan's name. All right, so we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to approach a question that was asked on the live chat.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, so we do have a text question. I'll take that question now. Somebody in general has a question, wants to know your opinion on puzzles in forum adventures. This is asked by Reese Person. Okay.
First of all, for the readers, forum adventures is referring to like the interactive story type things.
Okay.
Puzzles. Well, I mentioned before that I did a sort of forum adventure type thing before MS Paint Adventures existed. This was like years and years ago and the internet was new and ideas were, well, not internet was new, but it was like 19 or at least 2000 something. I don't know, but that's not important anyway. It was new to me.
Yeah.
So, I tried something with more puzzles in the past. I found that it didn't actually work out that well. Like maybe my puzzles were just too hard. They tended to stump everyone. It killed any semblance of plot direction the thing actually had.
Okay.
And it was more like, I remember this Penny Arcade comic. It was like saying, missed the movie, and it had someone staring at some levers saying, what happens if I pull this one? Okay, nothing. I guess I pull that one. It was more like that than actual story. Like when you sort of invite people to do all this experimentation, figure out a puzzle, it doesn't really flow with the plot well. With prequel, something I tried to do is, like, this time around I had more experience with it, so I was trying to make it so the plot is moving forward no matter what. Like, if there's anything that's like a puzzle, it's either something that the readers hit or miss. She'll either succeed or fail at it. But either way, it's just sort of, like, tumbling forward.
Yeah, I would assume that the best type of puzzles might be just sort of left for... there's, like, this... There's a show called Car Talk or something like that on NPR where they have something called The Puzzler. Mm-hmm. And basically it's this riddle or puzzle or whatever that they say, if you get it, you call in. And because there's only going to be one answer to this particular puzzle sort of thing. So, and then they just say we had 50 people that were correct, random winner of those people sort of thing, and it just goes on from there. I mean, I'd almost assume like something extra fun for, I mean, unless it's like a clearly designed puzzle for like which direction that she needs to go or you know, kind of which corridor. Or but one thing I'd noticed that you do or I have done a couple of times, was I don't know if you made this or if you had somebody make it's kind of like this sort of RPG game where you're.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That,
where you have the whoever's on the website take control of Katia, just walking around and talking to people and picking up stuff. And
yeah, that's inspired pretty heavily by something Andrew Hussey did. Like, I don't make it any secret that I am trying out a lot of his ideas, seeing how they work for me. He tried the RPG thing, so I kind of wanted to give it a shot, too. And I can see why he did it. It's fun. It's an interesting way to introduce a lot of information at once, I found.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't quite remember that back on MS Paint Adventures. But
if you gave up on MS Paint Adventures when it got complicated, you probably never saw this.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. But yeah, I just remember it's like, this is so cool. I just walk around. I mean, I don't usually like those type of games, but it's a nice little additive for like the webcomic experience. I mean, truly. Yeah, it's like whether or not everybody does what they're supposed to, you know, if they like are mad about talking to everything, bumping every single wall, clicking on every single thing. I know that doesn't matter because, you know, that's something fun for them to do. You're going to have Katia, you know, do what she's going to do and need to know anyway, right?
Yeah, well, sort of. Like, one of the things I learned from that is that the really, really big interactive parts don't work as well as the smaller ones, I think, because a lot of people are going to get different experiences from it.
Right.
Like, some of the stuff she says later about pole dancing, that's not going to make sense to the reader unless they found the arena and looked around in there.
Right.
Yeah, that was. I'm going to leave that surprise for anyone who reads the comic. Because I think it cracked a lot of people up when I found it.
Yeah. I did get a text question once again. We had a question of what inspired you to make Prequel. And I think we kind of already answered that, but is there anything more to it other than you were inspired by MS Paint?
There was actually a number of things that led to it, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much all MS Paint adventures related, but basically, I had done a lot of work with comics in the past. Like, I planned a lot of webcomics, did not start many.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, you've probably been there.
One of us. One of us.
I started mine, and I'm still planning.
Yeah, but anyway, I got a little involved in the MS Paint Adventures community. I did a lot of fan art and became kind of known for my depressing fan comics.
Okay.
Probably best known for this one that, I guess sort of the punchline of the comic was that one of the main characters was actually in a wheelchair, and it actually became made canon in MS Paint in Homestuck.
Ah. Uh-huh.
So I became known as the guy that crippled Tavros.
Okay.
But anyway, I got kind of known for depressing comics, and then one day on a whim, I guess I tried to take it a step further, and I wrote a fanfic. It was an 8-page fanfic sort of written as a joke about one of the Homestuck characters just bleeding to death.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was like the most horrible thing ever, but I tried to approach it, I guess, as legitimately as possible.
Okay.
Rather than making it like gory, I put this huge emphasis on like her thoughts as she's slowly coming to grips with her impending death. And I made this thing like it was well received. It made a lot of people cry. That's how I determined that something's well received, in case you didn't notice. But yeah, it was actually kind of fun, like putting that much emphasis on a character, I guess, like what a character is thinking about a situation in the face of dismal, utter hopelessness.
Yeah, if you can get the audience to identify or sympathize with the character.
But then after that, I guess I, well, I had been meaning to try something like MS Paint Adventures for a while, just on the forums to see how well I could do it, maybe learn a little bit about it. I was planning something completely different for a while. I did a whole bunch of planning, and then one day, I guess some alcohol was involved, and I ended up drawing a cat girl and sort of inspired by, I guess, my depressing story earlier. Posted that on the forums with the first update, and I've been running with it ever since for like a year. So that's how a whole bunch of things led to me drawing a sad cat girl.
Sad cat girl. Oh.
Sad cat girls in snow.
Yeah.
Do you particularly like the sad stuff or just like being evil?
Ooh. I don't know. I admit that I kind of like playing with people's emotions. Like, so, it's no so big evil. Secret among people that know me that that's pretty much why I majored in psychology. So, and economics.
There you go.
I like messing with people's emotions and what they do, that kind of stuff.
Okay, well, that's the economics. What about the psychology?
Yes, he gets it.
Let's see. There was one of the moments in MS Paint Adventure. In prequel. Ah, we had.
I could see why I'm confused. It's okay.
There was this character which was all being alluded to like she was quite possibly a vampire. And and it was my fetish is to put jelly on people's necks and lick it off. And I'll pay you for it. And the character's, you know, hey, she needs some money. And so you have all these commands. And this is great. You have all these commands that are saying, they're trying to convince her, yeah, you could do this. Oh, it's, you know, just whatever. You just go for it. And then you have her, like, seriously considering about it. That's like, no, she's a vampire. She's a vampire. And you say that she's really questioning her subconscious at this point. That's one of the best examples.
Yeah, thank you.
Of, just that whole, like, push and pull between the commands and the self-conscious filtering.
I think something that helps a lot of people identify with her as a character is that she kind of does fight back against them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something I tried to establish early on in the story. I guess not giving any spoilers, but within the first few pages, she starts fighting against the commands pretty hard.
Right. I'm not sure if MS Paint Adventures is like that at all. Is it?
Not really. MS Paint Adventures, like, I think I mentioned before, but the thing I was doing with, like, filtering everything through her subconscious was something MS Paint Adventures or a lot of the other forum adventure type things didn't do. They more focused on, like, people controlling the character directly.
Okay.
There's this great picture someone made. I think it was on 4chan. It was saying, like, how readers want prequel to work. It shows everyone holding a steering wheel to a car that looks like Katia and driving it. And then it says how readers think prequel works, has everyone in the back of a train that looks like Katia complaining. And then the last panel says how prequel actually works. It has Katia in the front of a car crying, trying to drive it, while everyone in the back seat yells things at her. I just thought that was cute.
Oh, man. If anyone can find me that link, we'll put it in the show notes, or at least in the comments section. When we post the show, we typically post on Wednesdays at webcomicbeacon.com. So we've had some people ask if there's going to be a transcript. It's like, not unless you want to do it, but there will be an MP3 later. somebody did. Oh, yep. Here we go. We got the link.
Oh, I was just trying to find it. Okay, that beat me to it.
All right. There we go. Well, thank you very much, Natalie Towler, for that link, and we'll get that in the show notes. Let's see here. Yeah, for people wondering how to ask a question, there should be, like, above the chat window, there should be apps, questions, and viewers. You should be able to go right to questions. And
How are people asking how to ask a question?
They're just in the regular chat. The actual question thing is set up differently. We do have another question here. Are pineapples your favorite fruit?
I actually do not like pineapples that much.
So I got to ask the next obvious question. What was the point of having the pineapple in the comic? I'm not going to give the spoiler of why the pineapple was in the comic, but what was your decision to have the pineapple specifically in the comic?
Okay, there's a kind of funny story behind where that came from. No, it's not that funny. That funny of a story. It's sort of like a reference to this is kind of, I guess it's kind of spoilers what it's for, but it's not a huge spoiler anyway. The whole pineapple and yo-yo thing is sort of a reference to an old book I read back in high school. I think it was, what was that comedian? Was he Dave Barry? I think Dave Barry does Japan. Yeah. The book Dave Barry Does Japan, they had this chapter. He talked about the sex shows in Japan. And there was this one line from the book. He was quoting a friend of his who went to one of the shows, and I might be misquoting his line slightly, but I think his friend said that he saw a woman do the most amazing thing with a yo-yo, her vagina, and some fruit. It gave no details beyond that, but I sort of misremembered it and used that when I needed something for prequel.
Gotcha.
I don't actually know what she's doing with that, but... So there's that mental image for anyone who wants to run with it.
There we go. I think that's the best. Leave it up to your imagination. Now, I'd like to ask...
Brian Apple is apparently like the worst friend. Thing I can misremember it as.
A friend told him, right, Dave Barry.
Yeah, it was totally my friend.
So I want to get to some of the world building of prequel. When you started it, like I'm talking about like right when you started it, how much of the prequel world or potential story that Katia would face, how much of that did you sort of have planned or outlined for points that you could potentially hit?
Well, for the world, I had a lot, because, I mean, I was basing it off an existing game.
Right.
For the actual story, there actually was not that much. Something interesting with prequel, I guess, is that I've been developing backwards as much as I've been developing forwards. Like, she didn't actually have much of a history or anything.
Right.
On that first frame. But as the story developed, you sort of, like, had her explaining things about her past as they were being created. Dreams for the future as they are being come up with. One of the biggest things was like the whole magic stuff. The readers came up with that, sort of went in that direction, ended up becoming one of the more important plot points, I guess.
Right, her wanting to be a magic user or a mage.
Yeah.
We do have another question that asks about the NPCs. How do you flesh out the NPCs, or how much are they fleshed out?
In the actual game, they are not that fleshed out at all. Like, they're mostly... A lot of the characters that I use in prequel are in the game, but they have, like, one line of dialogue or something. So it's kind of fun, like... Something I like doing is trying to expand on half-finished things. I think that's fun. Like, I'm not sure if anyone in the audience has followed my older MS Paint Adventures fan art and stuff, but I actually did a little comic series once. Following super minor characters that were only mentioned in passing in the background of the comics.
Okay.
But with prequel, I guess it's a mix of... Well, like, I look at what the NPCs are doing in the game, what I do know about them, and try to fill in with what the blanks are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I fill in more than other times. But either way, it's kind of fun. Like, just trying to find puzzle pieces that fit into the empty slots. And there's a lot of empty slots there.
It almost sounds... I guess it is a bit of fan fiction almost.
Yeah, it's like Oblivion fan fiction, I guess.
But you're also taking things that are... You know, like you're looking at a lot of like the minor characters, things that don't... Well, for the most part, don't heavily influence anything that really would have had a consequence while playing the game.
I think I'm approaching fan fiction all wrong, and I'm supposed to be, like, having a self-insert character seducing the main male protagonist or something. I don't know. I'm just going by, like, what I see on the internet here. But my approach to this stuff, I like to focus on the little things.
Yeah, and I think that works well, because one thing, just in general, like if there's, like an anime or... some series that's not on the air anymore with all their fans wearing brown coats for some reason. I think instead of just trying to go back and do more of that, I think what works is in the same universe or side stories or from other characters, I think that's the best way to have more fun with the property without touching what we already like. So you can't, like, if Calvin and Hobbes comes back, I don't think that'd be a great thing as much because, you know, because it's been so long. But if there's something else, like with characters set in the same universe or something like that, that sort of feel kind of like...
Have you seen those... I saw them somewhere online. Someone did some really kind of nice comics that were like, I guess, 10 or 20 years after Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah. Yeah, even
I
that.
I thought those were really cute.
Even
like
that
someone
can
in
be
the comments
awesome.
Is probably going to link them now.
Like there's like the one I saw where it's like, Calvin and...
Hobbes and Bacon?
No, Calvin and the girl, which I forget her, Susie. Yeah, that they eventually got married, which, you know, we all can... We wouldn't dispute that so much.
Yeah.
But then it's like it had Calvin's daughter, and he goes and gives her Hobbes, and it's like, oh, that would be
that's,
so
that's
awesome.
Hobbes and Bacon.
That's okay, yeah, that was so cool. I was like, yes, that's what I'd like, but, you know, you can't...
I mean, I agree with you there.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, like, I think you're doing it right.
Thanks.
as I'm talking to the chat room, I like I said, I'm not going to have all questions go up. But I think I will take another break, and we'll come back for the third segment of the Webcomic Beacon.
Take that.
She's Hearing Voices by Block Party, found at musicalley.com by Mevio. By the way, Mark and Alex, feel free to ask questions or interrupt me, or because I talk a lot and I understand that, and I'm trying to deal with that issue.
Come on, I'm hardly hearing from you guys.
I know, that's...
Say hello.
That's the thing.
The problem, my problem is that I've, you know, had never heard of your comic before today, and Bess was like, hey, come on the show, now.
I want okay?
This must all sound so weird if you never heard of it.
I had not heard of it either.
I'm going through it now, and it's you know, I'm on, like, page 3 or something.
Yeah, I found out I can't read somebody's comic while on the show, because then I'm not... Unless somebody else is on talking, and then I can just read. But that's the thing. You know, Tanya used to be the one that really kept me in line, and she's not here anymore, sadly. And if we had Kelly on, I think she's being a pretty good counterpart if we can get her on again. She usually has a lot to say. And anytime that I don't have to...
Isn't she?
Yeah, and anytime I don't have to say anything... I'm like neurotic narcissistic, I think.
You think?
You think?
You think?
You think? You think?
Huh. So I'm going to look at some of the questions. We're back, by the way. We have some more questions.
There is a break. It is an illusion.
All right. I'm going to have this question. Is there anything that you wish you had done differently looking back?
Ooh, not really, I think.
All right.
Like, yeah, that's a short answer. I mean, I'm not trying to make this sort of like as my... Might be mispronouncing this Latin, magnum opus. I think that's it.
That's great.
This isn't... Like, I'm not trying to make this my greatest thing I've ever created. It's sort of like a forum game I started while I was drinking. So, at this point, it's become more like a learning experience. If I make mistakes, I just kind of try to run with it and cover them up, rather than feel much regret about that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think whatever I do after this is going to be better. If this is really good too, that's awesome.
If you ever have trouble, you can always go back to its roots by just drinking some more.
There you go.
Well, that kind of ties into this next question, which is confusing to me now, but it says, it's obvious you put in a lot of effort. Drinking is so hard. How long did you intend prequel to be originally, if you had a plan? For length,
about as long as I intended to be right now. Well, I thought it would move faster, but it turns out it's a lot of work drawing lots of pictures and writing text,
especially when you animate the GIFs and everything.
Yeah, that too. That's just drawing more pictures.
Yeah,
but I thought it would move faster. I mean, I think my the length estimates for, like, from a story perspective probably haven't changed much. I mean, people that know what it's based off of know there's a certain point where it just can't be a prequel anymore.
Right, right. Well, I think a big difference, once again, going back to MS Paint Adventures, I think there's a lot of cut... I'm pretty sure there, at least by the time I stopped reading it, there's tons of cut paste and a lot of reused stuff. I don't know how much... you reuse. You seem to have a lot. You do reuse some characters and stuff, but they're still doing more stuff than just standing there with their arms at their sides.
I reuse a lot of stuff. Like, I think one of the reasons this has gotten further than my other webcomicking attempts in the past that never really took off is because I can do stuff like a talking scene with just pasting two people together and moving their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, I'd, like, feel compelled to keep switching up the camera angle or something.
Right, right.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm doing hand gestures while talking about camera angles.
No, I know exactly but, what you're talking about, actually.
But this time around, I'm doing a lot of copy-paste. I mean, something that I respect Andrew Hussey for when he started MS Paint Adventures was that he approached the... copy and paste and the stuff like stylistic changes as a part of the style rather than something to be avoided.
Right, right.
Like, I mean, if you look at Katty, you know she looks almost completely different every time I draw her, and that's okay. Like, I switch the things up enough, go back to older ones enough that it's, like, it's not showing some kind of artistic development. I can actually draw better than you see in prequel. Like, I do have some professional art education. I can do not pixely art stuff. But I guess like the fluctuating style and stuff and the copy and paste, I respect that Andrew Hussey made that a part of the actual style. That's one of the things I tried imitating.
Okay.
And I think it's worked well. Hmm. Like, it's actually been fun to use.
So, you know, at a certain point, that the prequel will come to an end. Have you considered the other end, like an epilogue?
Or a sequel to prequel?
I've thought about it. I'm not going to say anything conclusive on that, I guess.
Okay. But, well, then I'll have to ask, do you have a particular, if and when this comic is going to end, this is how it probably should end?
Like, I have a few ideas.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of a, I think that answers one of the other questions I just pulled up on here that basically asks if there's just going to be a sequel to prequel. Yeah.
Yeah, I talk about things like I respect Andrew Hussey for. One of the other ones is that he makes his stories sort of short and self-contained. Well, short's probably the wrong word for anything he writes, but...
Yeah.
Like, you look at Problem Sleuth. It ran for something like 2 years, had a definitive ending, it tied up all the loose ends and stuff. Whereas a lot of webcomics are sort of written with the idea, this is going to continue forever and ever and ever, or until I die. No, I'm writing this with like a definitive, at least a time point that it's going to end. Then I'm probably going to take off on something else.
Yeah. If we did have another question that was asking whether or not if was prequel a prototype webcomic meant to be your first attempt? And I think you already answered some of that, saying that you had lots of ideas. But
yeah, I'd done a lot of planning phases stuff for webcomics. Lots of stuff with like trying to get a consistent art style. So I can, you know, draw the hundreds and dozens of camera angles while doing a conversation scene, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I'm not sure if the next thing I do is going to be a webcomic. I've been liking the game design parts of prequel more than the actual comicking parts, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot of possibilities. Anything that you would do after this, would you let the characters be, or might you try to, whatever your next project is, might you incorporate any of this, or just leave well alone?
I think I've... At the very least, I'm going to use a whole lot of stuff I learned from this. Right. Like, I think working with prequel, I have learned more about writing and dealing with readers and stuff than I have on any past projects, possibly just because it's the biggest one I've done so far.
I got to ask. I have no idea what your traffic is like, but I'm certain it's solid. Why don't you have any ads on your sites, like Project Wonderful or AdSense or anything? Because you probably utilize that. Go ahead.
Well, I guess... sorry, I was thinking a wrong question there. I thought you were asking why I didn't advertise for a second. As for ads and stuff, like I guess I just don't think they're that important. Like, I'm not in dire need of money or anything. I'd rather keep the site sort of clean looking.
I suppose. I don't know. Maybe after a few years, you'll come to realize.
God, I don't want to be
just how poor we are.
Yeah. But yeah, you know.
Yeah, I did try Google Ads for a while. I had a kind of bad experience with them, I guess. Like, I thought that I was cheating the ad system. They asked me to send in an appeal and repealed all the money I earned. And I sent in my appeal, and they're like, whoops, guess we were wrong. And no, you don't get your money back. So I was like, screw you, Google Ads. Yeah, they did that.
That's weird.
Yeah. But yeah, I tried the ads for a while. They were not... I don't know. I mean, I don't like Project Wonderful that much. No offense to Project Wonderful people. Just because they're a little too flashy for me. Too colorful. Don't really fit. Google Ad... Yeah, Google Ads, I like that you can choose the color and stuff, but at the same time, I have never seen an intelligently chosen Google Ad. Like, I know when I tried it out, it was during the that part where she is throwing the fireballs, and it kept putting ads for Fire Magic Grills. like the grill brand.
Well, yeah.
That's awesome.
I wish I could just give it a hint and say, like, no, advertise some fantasy webcomics. But it, yeah, you can't influence Google Ads.
Well,
sometimes, though, like, I think the best thing Google Ads does is when it's unintentionally funny. I remember, what was it, some Dr. McNinja page where someone was getting attacked by birds, and Google put up an ad for bird repellent. I thought that was pretty great, but it's not like anyone who's reading the comic is actually going to get bird repellent.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, you can also, I have Google Ads for some of the pages that I do, but you can go through and say what type. I unselect automotive ads. It's like, we don't need automotive ads, I'm pretty sure. Just things like, you can tweak them a bit, but,
yeah, there's just not as much control as I'd like.
Yeah, we should have somebody on the show at some point for ads or something.
That would be interesting. I'd watch it.
Well, it's audio, but okay.
No, I'd listen to it.
back in my day, we used to get stoned and watch the radio. I don't remember what that's from, but I remember that being funny. But, so, let's take a look here. I think we're getting down towards the end of our time. Let me just double check everything real quick. Let's see if there's got any more questions. I don't know how to ask this question. Were you ever pleased with your previous attempts to make a video game? Somebody asked. I'm not sure how relevant that is.
Oh, pleased with my previous attempts to make a video game. I'm curious who this person is that they have seen my previous attempts.
The name says Joshua Arco or something like that. But,
okay, then, I think I've made some interesting things. Like, what was it? One of the independent gaming source competitions, Assembly. Okay. I think I did an okay, like, sort of horror type thing. Biggest problem with me in game competitions is that I am not good at deadlines. Uh-huh. Anyone that has heard one of my I'll update bi-weekly promises knows I'm not good at deadlines.
Like I said, you're one of us.
Yeah, that's...
We accept you. We accept you.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I'm satisfied with the things I've made before, but I want to make some better games sometime.
Right. You said that you've been having a lot of fun with the video game portions.
Oh, yeah, that's actually, like, I've been working with bigger teams than I usually do. Like, I think Katia Excelsior, I had probably at least 10 people working with me on that one.
Okay.
Which was a lot of fun. Like, I met a lot of cool people. Worked with them some other projects now, too.
Okay. Do you think you might do a standalone, separate sort of prequel video game or something like that?
Not for prequel. No, okay. I think prequel is... Yeah, I think prequel is what it is. Like, I'm not going to try to franchise this or anything.
Well, I just meant like a sort of like a little bit of extra something. But yeah, you know, you don't want to be tied to a single franchise. I see. I understand.
Yeah, pretty much everything I do for prequel is probably going to just go for the website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, alrighty. I think we are pretty much at the end of our time this week. Later today, I got to go record some more for a different show that I do, but. It's been a really good episode, and I really appreciate everyone who came out to check out the live broadcast, webcastbeacon.com/live, presently broadcasting live with Vocal, utilizing their interaction system with the questions. Thanks to everybody who submitted questions that we used, and didn't use, I suppose. Still, thank you for your suggestions, but, what was that? All right. So that is going to be it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. Once again, I want to thank Kazarad from the webcomic Prequel at prequeladventure.com. Thanks once again.
Hey, pleasure speaking to you.
Yay. And we've had momentarily Alex Everling of alexsguide.net.
Yay.
I've been Fess of ArdrickComic.com.
And I'm Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. We'll be right back.
Well, there's no reason for it, I don't think. I don't like looking at myself. I don't think other people like looking at me either.
I know how you feel. Oh, you beat me to it.